Steve Kleinadler joins us, executive editor for the American Heritage Dictionary of the English Language, joins us to talk about what's new, what's old, what's no longer relevant. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, Craig wanted to know, is there an infinite number of words you can have in your dictionary? Well, I shouldn't say infinite, but do you sort of keep a certain number of words? Do you take words out if new words come in? What kind of editing process goes into that?
Right. Thank you for having me on. There are far fewer words taken out than are added, especially since a lot of our material is available online. There's less reason than ever to take out words. The only time you would take out a word nowadays is if it is an obsolescent, unused term, or is factually incorrect, which doesn't happen that often. In the print edition, of course, sometimes you have to make choices, but the beauty of online is that we can just keep adding.
It's endless amount of space out there. At least that's what they say until they tell me that I don't have enough cloud space and I got to buy more. But anyway, the American Heritage Dictionary announces 2014 updates. Let's talk about some of the new things. And I guess food is always a place that new words come from.
Food is a place new words come from, and people like talking about it, people like hearing about it, and it's a very robust part of our language for bringing in new words from across the globe. I know beer is important to a lot of people, and as people start looking at craft beers and other kinds of beers, we've added several kinds of beers, including Saison, which is a medium-bodied ale from Belgium, and it has a slightly fruity flavor and a cloudy appearance, and hopefully some of your listeners are familiar with that kind of ale.
Steve, in a case like this, Saison comes from overseas. How long is a word like this, how long does it have to be around before you put it in the dictionary?
That's a good question. And it's it honestly depends on a lot of factors, how widespread across the country is it being used. I can explain this easily through the term banh mi, which is a sandwich of Vietnamese origin that we added. One reason we added it is you used to find it in this word in the United States only in Vietnamese restaurants. And over time, its use has expanded into other styles of restaurants, general American restaurants. This sandwich is made with various meats and has pickled vegetables often and a spicy condiment like sriracha. As this term is found in recipes and in restaurants outside its original scope, which would be Vietnamese restaurants, it's a good indication that the word has been anglicized or brought into English and is something that was formerly just Vietnamese and is now considered English as well.
When do you determine what pronunciation then? Or do you include both what would be the native language pronunciation as well as the anglicized?
That's also a great question and a good word the two words I like to point to. And it depends on, again, what part of the country you're from. Whether you say pina colada or pina colada has a lot to do with, for example, the degree to which there is a lot of Spanish speakers in your area. And the lamb dish spelled G-Y-R-O, whether you say gyro or hero or hero, depends on the degree often of how much Greek immigrants are in your area. So people where there's a lot of Greek diners might have the more Greek pronunciation, and for people in parts of the country where very few Greeks have settled are likely to say gyro, and we show both pronunciations.
Where do you weigh in on the word, the plant, poinsettia?
Oh, whether it's, I think we actually have a usage note there. Let me check. Because it's got the, it's pronounced, it's the last part is spelled T-I-A.
Right.
Some people say poinsettia, others say poinsettia. We show both pronunciations. What we're doing is we're showing how words are used. This word, poinsettia, you hear both. A good example of how dictionaries represent this type of information, you'll note we updated the usage note at the word harass, H-A-R-A-S-S. Over the past 50 years, we have polled our usage panel about this item several times because some people say harass, some say Harris. 25 years ago, the usage panel was split In 2001, 70% preferred the pronunciation harass. Last year when we balloted, 90% preferred the word or the pronunciation harass. That doesn't mean Harris is wrong. It's just becoming less and less used.
Do we also go with harassment? In other words,
yes. As opposed to harassment, yes.
Right. Okay. Now we know.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Let's talk about some of the ones that involve what I consider more like compound words or things get put together. You have one called like clickbait.
Right. That's a nice, as you can imagine, the computer technology and internet has brought about a slew of new terminology. Computer science has done, 30 years ago, regular words like cut, paste, browse have taken on a new meaning. Clickbait is the provocative or sensationalistic headlines that get people to click on a link, and it's used to attract eyeballs to the website to drive up ad revenue. So all of those headlines like, you won't believe what this person said about kittens, or, 10 things that everyone should know about the planet Jupiter or whatever. That one's actually pretty normal, but we've all seen those things on Facebook or other social media site where just the headline alone and gets you to click on something, and often it's pretty lame.
Pre-game, which I thought was already a word used there, apparently maybe it is now become so commonplace that you got a place for it in the dictionary.
Well, yes, and one of the reasons we added it is because some of its extended meanings, the prefix pre is very productive. You can add it before a wide variety of nouns and verbs to indicate something that comes before. And to answer your earlier question, although there's not an infinite number of words, by taking productive suffixes and prefixes, you can add a lot of these to existing words to come up with even more. So English is a very productive language. Pre-game, of course, referring not just to something that happens before a game, but specifically to the social gathering or party that occurs before an athletic game. And then, on top of that, it has been extended to a slang use to drink alcoholic beverages before any type of gathering. So, like, if you're going out to the bars with friends, if you're at home and you have a drink or two before you go out, that's called pre-gaming, as a way of saving money on booze when you go out to drink.
Well, apparently you're drinking that Saison. That's part of the other.
Or you could be, yes.
Another one I thought might have already been in there would be dash cam. We hear so much about it. It's been out there for a while.
It has been. With a staff our size, we're adding and revising and reviewing as much as possible. And this word has been on our list for some time. And in the past couple of years, especially as the news cycles discuss dash cams, both in terms of combating fraud, as in Russia, where there's a lot of insurance fraud, or here in the United States as these things are mounted on the cars of police officers to document traffic stops, that kind of thing. It's definitely a word that its time has come, and we were happy to put it in.
One more before we let you go. Craig was talking about, before you got on the air here, exomoon. Explain what is that?
Well, it's a moon that orbits an extrasolar planet. An extrasolar planet is a planet that is outside of our solar system, and as all of the sophisticated telescopes and whatnot are able to see and detect these planets outside of other solar systems. Well, some of them also have their own moons, and those are called exomoons.
Let's see. Now, if people want to find out about these or about the dictionary, where's a good place for them to check you out? I guess they can find you on a shelf.
Good places.
Right?
Yeah. You can check out these definitions and all of our definitions at ahdictionary.com. You can go to your favorite brick-and-mortar bookstore or order from your bookstore online, or go down to your independent bookstore and purchase a copy. Or you can also get an app on both the Android and Apple platforms.
Sounds very good. Our guest today has been Steve Kleinedler, the executive editor of the American Heritage Dictionary. Thanks for joining us and sharing some of the new words with us. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me on, and I hope to speak with you next year.